Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation today, the text from which Beverly's confirmation verse came, the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to deliver my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in this I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. My dear friends in Christ, it is not just for times when all seems to be going well that God gives us such lovely and encouraging words as these. Rather, such words are especially for those times when the rug has been jerked out from under us, when our world has been turned upside down, when we feel robbed of something precious and we are powerless to do anything about it. These words from the 27th Psalm are words for a time just such as this. Norm, Kevin, Jeff, family members, and friends, Beverly herself requested that the 27th Psalm, the source of her confirmation verse, be used at her funeral service. This word from the Lord spoke powerfully to Bev, and she wanted it to speak powerfully to each and every one of you here today. The Lord is my light and my salvation, exults David. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense, the very refuge of my life. Whom shall I dread? Here in the first few verses of this psalm, we find described the believer's confidence, the believer's ground for hope, no matter what. This basis for hope does not rest in self, of course. Self, after all, is a big part of the problem to begin with, isn't it? All the sin that so easily entangles us, the sin that separates us from God and from one another, the sin that kills. No, this confidence does not come from self, nor can it come from others. For the world, too, sets a very deceptive snare, luring you to embrace, especially perhaps at times like this, counterfeit solutions for life's problems, and then leaving you, when all is said and done, spent and alone and fearful. No, says David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The darkness that threatens our lives is driven back when the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, is shining in them. Gone is all that nervous stumbling around in the dark where we are plagued by questions that have no answers. Gone are all the frightening shadows of despair and doubt when Jesus is present. Gone when Jesus is present is the fear of the unseen and the unknown. Jesus has brought life and immortality to light with his gospel. Disease, disability, suffering, and yes, death. And I would say especially a death that seems so untimely. These no longer hold the high ground in the Christian's life. No matter what the appearances, they no longer dictate the terms by which our lives are lived. I know that right now, this tragedy, this death, this terrible loss, seems to have the upper hand, seems to dictate everything. But your Lord Jesus invites you to take to heart his words to that woman Martha. Martha, who also grieved a great personal loss. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And he who lives and believes in me will never die. Then he adds those words, Do you believe this? My dear friends, the answer that you have already given silently in your heart to that question of Jesus shows the power of Jesus' victory already at work in your heart. The Lord himself is our deliverance. He has shown utter mastery over all these other forces that would be our masters. All sin has been paid for in full. There is nothing that can separate us from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death and the grave have already been utterly vanquished. Jesus is our only Lord, the only master of our lives. And you know, your Lord Jesus has graciously provided gifts, simple gifts which are so available, gifts by which our lives are actually filled with his deliverance and with hope. How often haven't you as a family gathered together for worship at Ascension, and having knelt for confession, then heard together the words of that absolution, those words that wash away your sin in the flood of Jesus' blood? How often haven't you gathered together and meditated upon that word of God heard that day, and then knelt together before your Lord's altar, and there received his very body and blood as that wonderful guarantee of the life that never, ever ends? You, with your loved one, Bev, have partaken of gifts in baptism, in word, and in supper. Gifts which have forged a communion, a holy union, which cannot be compromised, it cannot be tarnished, it cannot be broken even by death. The saints on earth and those above but one communion make, joined to their Lord in bonds of love, all His grace partake. One family, we dwell in Him, one church above, beneath. Though now divided by the stream, that narrow stream of death. Your communion with Bev still continues in the Holy Christian Church. Such is the believer's confidence, such is the believer's ground for hope, even as we struggle with our grief and with that pain of separation. And by the way, you also continue to share with Bev a believer's desire and true joy. One thing I have asked from the Lord, says David, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to meditate in His temple. What words could better describe Beverly Smith's own personal piety? Committed to her daily devotions, so active in her own congregation, always in prayer for her family, and I hope you know that, always in prayer for you, so committed to the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and its work, with that motto that she knew and exemplified so well, serve the Lord with gladness. And that's precisely what David was trying to get us to see in these words. To see that we can live your life, our lives. We can live these lives no matter what our vocation, as if our service was daily in the temple of the Lord, serving Him. In other words, our lives being wrapped up in the things of God, seeing even our daily life as an act of worship. Along those lines, you have told me that it was the simple things in life that Bev enjoyed, and how true that is. She loved fishing and camping, going out and cycling. She would afterward talk about the wonders, the beauty of God's creation. She loved it. The simple things in life.